Okay, so right at the beginning of this parsha is a chock full parsha. It's only 64 psukim, but it has a million mitzvot. What?
Kedoshim.
Kedoshim. Yes, we are. Just remember, if anyone was, none of you were traveling, but if any were traveling, we're off for the next few months from America. Yes, because the last day was Shabbos. So.
Oh, yeah. That's what I say?
Yeah.
Why? Why?
Yes, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. Anyways, but so Kedoshim. No, we're just off forever. We could have done it with somebody else. I don't know. Anyways, really not the point. But Kedoshim. So right at the beginning, we get the mitzvot of Leket Shechcha and Peah, and some of the matnot Aniyim, like Shechcha, if you forget things in the field, and Leket, right, if you're cutting and things fall, etc. So first of all, it's interesting that it gets put in the beginning of Kedoshim, which means that it's a subset of holiness, which tells you a lot about holiness, which if you look at the beginning of the parsha, you'll notice that there's all types of laws, from ethical laws to ritual laws, all sort of integrated. But I just want to focus on a small point, because we're in Daf Yomi this week. So in Yevamot, when it's discussing the mitzvot that we tell a ger, because we don't, you know, make the ger learn all of Shas and all of, you know, Mishneh Torah and all of Torah, Shulchan Aruch, and whatever, before they convert, the rule is that we teach them miktzat mitzvot, right? We teach them some of the mitzvot. And obviously, once you're going to say that we teach them some of the mitzvot, what does that force you to ask? Why these and why not, right? And why not others, right? If you said you have to teach everything, that would be overwhelming, but like it would make sense, right? You say, okay, he's converting, he now has to accept all these mitzvot, so now we're going to teach him all these mitzvot. But we don't. So one of them that we tell them is, or one series of what we tell them are these matnot aniyim. So, right, a modiano tal avon leket shechicha peya umaiser ani. So the Gemara says, why? Of all things, why this? I mean, there are other things, but why these? So, my time. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan ben Noach neherag al pachot mishavet pruta velo nitan lihishavot. So, instead of giving some sort of big answer, it says, well, because non-Jews are killed, it's theft of less than a shavet pruta is a capital crime and cannot be returned, and therefore we teach them about this. Now, what is the connection between, right, A and B, right? How does this answer the question? So Rashi gives a very technical answer. And Rashi says, Shelo yomru aniyim alalu aloktin peyev ezadeh gazlanim heim va'om nalem v'hargam b'dinehem. Shebnei Noach huzru ala gezel. He says it very simple. One of the seven mitzvot is theft. All of the seven mitzvot carry with them either the obligation or possibility, depending on how you understand it, of capital punishment, and he said they don't need to be warned, right? That's the halacha. And therefore, if he saw a poor person coming into his field and taking the leftover grain, which is worth 10 cents, he might say, aha, he's violating theft. When I was a non-Jew, this was a capital crime, and he'll shoot him. And therefore, we have to tell him, No, he's allowed to. And he says, by Jews, we forgive pachot mishaver pruta, and by non-Jews, they don't. They're machbid, and therefore, that's what we tell them. Now, it sounds simple, Pshat and Rashi, that this is a very technical thing, is we don't want him to shoot the poor person in the head who happens to be coming in to take what is legitimately his. Right, so it's a very practical thing. It's like, just know, you know, whatever. It'd be like, yeah, he's not trespassing, right? He is allowed to be there, and don't freak out. Now that seems a little bit odd. So the Tosfot Yeshanim gives something that I think is a little bit more fundamental and sheds light on why these mitzvot might be so important. So first he quotes Rashi, and then he says, "Yesh mefarshin modino tonavon leket mipnei shemakpidin al mamon muat vechayishinan shemayachzur lusuran mehashta modino tolo Shaniach Va'al Yakbid, the Parish Mehashta Nifrosh Lefishaya Eno Sarah. He says, because basically, we want to know that he is not overly stingy. We want to know, because right now, what are we doing? We're telling him the mitzvot to test whether he really wants to be Jewish. And if he doesn't, so go back. Right? There's no pressure. You don't want it. It's not going to work for you. Leave. Right? We tell them the mitzvot, not just, it's not a fait accompli when they come that we say, oh, you want to convert? Let's convert. No, we tell them what it entails if they want to be Jewish after they've heard what it entails. So then we work with them. And if it works, then we convert them. And if not, not. And therefore, we tell them these mitzvot because if they say, you know what, I can't deal with that. I can't deal with giving up that money. I can't deal with them coming in. Then we say, okay, this is not for you. Right? And if you can, so then, welcome to the Jewish people. V'zeh peirush nira. Right? And he says, this makes more sense because really, do you think, I mean, according to Rashi, you think that every time they see a poor person come and take a grape, they're going to shoot them in the head? Like, that's why we're worried about this? Right, he said, if that was what it meant, besides that being a little bit odd, we shouldn't say, teach them leket shechopeya. We should say, don't kill poor people. Right, that's what really you should be saying according to Rashi. But I think Tosfos Yerushalmi's actual shot gives you an insight of why this might be the first thing that we teach them and why this gets in right in the beginning of Parshat Kedoshim when we're talking about what it means to be Jewish, what it means to be holy, what it means to be like God. What Tosfos Yerushalmi says is that leket shecha and peya, it's not just about caring about the poor. The way that we care about the poor in leket shecha peya is reflective of a perspective on money that just says, listen, I just don't, right? I'm not that stingy. I'm not that, right? I don't need to save every last penny. I can part with it, right? And what he seems to be saying is, listen, there are two things going on. Leket shecha peya. One is that obviously I care about others. I want to give them money. The second is, listen, it's just a few pennies, right? To care about that is not just that you don't want to help the poor. It's you have a certain perspective on money that just doesn't work within a Jewish context where you have to have a certain amount of generosity of spirit. And you think about leket and shecha. My son, you actually have to give them. But leket and shecha and peya, you don't have to give them. You have to let it be. Right, you have to let them take it. Right, if you can't handle that idea, right, that sometimes you don't collect every last cent, right, and you let other people take it, you don't have not just a certain concern, but a certain generosity of spirit, a certain flexibility with your money, then Judaism isn't going to work for you. And what I think the Tosfos Yerushalmi is saying is the reason we tell them this is because these mitzvot are reflective of a perspective on how economics work, of how you relate to money, how you relate to wealth, how you relate to prosperity, right? Not just how you relate to taking care of others, but how you relate to money. And that's very important. And if that works for you, then Judaism might be for you. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And like I said, that for me makes a lot of sense why it would be in the beginning of Kedoshim. If it's not just, it's obviously also that part of being Kadosh and part of being Jewish is taking care of the poor. But part of it is, look, doing Torah and mitzvot can be expensive. And you just have to be the type of person who is okay with that. Right? And that's not necessarily easy, right? If you want to save your every last penny, it's not just like at Shech on Pia. Hey, it's, you know, the expense in kosher food and Jewish education and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And just being able to deal with that, right? Realizing you have to spend money or leave money on the table for things that are valuable, that seems to be central, both to Kedusha. And I think what Tosfos Yerushalmi is getting at is that's why we, it's one of those things that we start teaching the Ger about a perspective on money, on prosperity, which is central to the way you live your life, and therefore central to the way his life is going to be once he accepts to be Jewish. Okay.